Matthew chapter 7. We'll preach a few minutes this morning and try to be led of the Lord. It's been good to be here this morning, ain't it? Amen. Matthew chapter number 7, a simple thought the Lord gave me a week or so ago, and I've been thinking about it and praying over it and studying on it. It's very basic and fundamental, but that's what we believe is the fundamentals of the faith. Amen. And you'll never preach the greatest messages that I can remember in my life hearing that I've heard is those simple ones. Amen. And a lot of times we worry about getting real deep and theological and all that stuff when we ought to just keep it simple and basic. And that's what I'm going to preach this morning, this simple thought that I believe would help you. And Matthew chapter number 7, look at verse number 13, Jesus speaking here in the famous, well-known Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." And he said, verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now Jesus is telling us here, it's real simple. There's only two ways. There's only two ways. And what I want to preach about this morning is which way. Which way are you going to go? Which way are you going to take your life? It may be that everybody here this morning is saved. I don't know. It could be there's somebody here that's not saved. It could be somebody here that maybe you're saved and you're still not really walking where you should with God. And I'm going to give you some scripture and show you that God's way is always the best way. Amen? And the Bible tells us that there are two ways. Jesus said the broad way leads to destruction, and he said that's where most people go. Did you know, you've always heard this, the majority rules? That's true, the majority rules, but the majority's always wrong. It's never, the minority is always the ones that's right. I can prove that all down through history, and all down through time, all down through the Bible, the minority is always right. It's never the majority. The majority goes the wrong way. A nation as a whole always goes the wrong way when they get away from God. And the Bible said, Jesus said, the broad is the way that leads to destruction. Everybody almost is going the broad way. It's the easy way. Anybody can go. Anybody can go the broad way because that's where everybody's going. And you just get in the flow and you just follow along with it. But then he said, there's another way. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And he said, few there be that find it. I'll tell you, brother, sometime when I get discouraged and feel like I ain't accomplishing anything, ain't getting nothing done, I get to thinking about those numbers and statistics. And statistically this morning, there's a good chance that you might not have even got saved. Oh, but ain't you glad you are saved? Ain't you glad you're in that minority? You say, preacher, look around. We got empty pews. Ain't many people like us. There ain't many people worships like we do. That's all right, brother. I'd rather be in a minority and know I'm right and know that God is pleased with what we're doing. The Bible said in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 19:3 says, the foolishest of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. Amen. We live in a society where they tell us there's no real absolutes. That's what we call situation ethics. If it's wrong for you, it may not be wrong for me. But we don't believe that. As Bible believers, we believe if it's wrong for you, it's wrong for me. And we believe if this is right now, it'll be right 10 years from now. We believe if it was wrong 10,000 years ago, we believe it's wrong today. And brother, there's a right way and a wrong way. And you never hear people address that anymore. People talk about everything in the world except right and wrong. I'm always trying to tell my kids, just do what's right. Do the right thing. I mean, brother, listen. If you got a job, go to work, bless God. That's the right thing to do. I don't feel like it. I don't get paid enough. So what? Everybody's got that problem almost. Just do it. That's the right thing to do. I'll tell you, if we'd ever get that in our head, just to do what's right, brother, that'd solve half our problems. Just do the right thing, bless God. I mean, quit doing what you want to do, and what everybody's telling you to do, and what the television says you ought to do, and what everybody's advice is. I mean, just do what's right, and God will bless you for it down the road. I'll give you a few things about The way of man and the way of God. Number one, the way of man is a selfish way. The Bible said, Proverbs 21:2, every way of a man is right. Jot these scriptures down. The way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. That's Proverbs 21:2. And you know, a man that lives outside the way of God, he's a selfish man. I mean, brother, he's selfish. All he ever lives for is self, 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 self. That's all you ever hear. I mean, that's about sickening, brother. That's why Christians can't get nothing done for God, because we're grown up in this society about me, me, me. The universe revolves around me. People can't get nothing done because they're so occupied and preoccupied with themselves. And Jesus knew that problem. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you must first deny yourself. That's the hardest thing in the world to do, brother. Just deny yourself. Brother Joe's talking about it at Sunday school this morning about fasting. Nobody hardly fasts and prays anymore. Because it's hard to do and people just don't want to do it. I don't like to do it because it makes me uncomfortable, and because I'm hungry, because I want to eat. I don't want to suffer. That's the me generation we're living in. The way of man's a selfish way. I've never seen such a selfish society in all my life. I mean, I told Debbie the night, it wouldn't bother me as much if I'd have been born in this generation and never known the old-time way, but I was born in the 50s, and I've seen the old-timey way and the old-fashioned way and the right way when people used to whip their kids. I mean, brother, people used to make a mind when mama, daddy worked, mama stayed home and tended to the house, and daddy was the head of the house, and brother, kids walked to school without being in danger, and if the kids got in trouble at the school, the principal pulled out a big old paddle and tear their hide, and they went home and mama whipped them, and then daddy got home and whipped them again. Brother, you got three doses, and kids grew up saying yes ma'am and no ma'am, yes sir and no sir. But brother, we're living in a selfish day. It's the land of the sea and church age, which means the rights of the people. We're living in the age of entitlement. You owe me, this is what I should have, this is what I want, this is what I need. Brother, we ought to get to the place where we live for others and learn to quit being so selfish. You give a man two cars and he wants a third one. You give a man a boat and he wants a bigger boat. The Bible said the eyes of men are never full. It's because men are not content in this day and age. They want more and more and more. You, the average teenager's got a nice car. I guarantee you this morning, you look at me, I guarantee you every teenager's got a nice car this morning, wants a newer one or a faster one or a prettier one or something, brother. I guarantee you, you almost never meet anybody that's content. That's right. Some of you ain't amen and bless God because you're getting your toenails trimmed this morning. It's a selfish way. Number two, it's a strange way. It's a strange way. Proverbs 21:8, the way of man is forward and strange, but as for the pure, his heart is work is right. Listen, the way of man is a strange thing, ain't it? I saw a commercial the other day, and I wondered what they're talking about. They kept saying, only 40 cents a day. And I knew it's some liberal, some milksop junk that Hollywood's trying to cram down. And I sat there and watched that commercial a few minutes, and they was talking about only 40 cents a day, only 40 cents a day. And they got to the end of it, and they was telling people how easy it is to have AIDS. If you just take that pill, it's 40 cents a day. Everything's going to be all right. Ain't that strange? I said, ain't that strange? Talk to me this morning. Are y'all alive? Brother, it's weird that people spend that kind of money instead of getting on there and saying, my God, you're killing yourself. You've got a plague on you. You're killing yourself. Quit committing illicit sex and fornication and sodomy, and maybe God will have mercy on you. Hey, brother, I'll tell you, the way of man is a strange way. Average person at parties will go to work tomorrow and brag about what a good time they had this weekend. I know I've been there, and I ain't proud of it. And you can ask them what they did, and they'll say, I don't know. I said, drunk, I passed out. Man, we had a good time. I picked up his old lady. Man, me and her went and party. Who was she? I don't know. What she look like? I don't know. You sure it was a woman? That's strange, ain't it? It's strange. I've lived that life. Hell, children, the world living for self. It's a strange thing that a man will throw away every dime he can work and make himself sick, inflicting his body and damaging his mind and his soul and endangering eternity just so that he can have a little bit of fun knowing it's killing him. Strange, man. People do things they know is killing them and still do it. If you ask me, that's a little weird. Hey, y'all ain't on board with me this morning. Don't seem like, but I'm going to preach anyway. It's a strange way. It's a funny thing the way people live their life. Ain't it strange that a mom and daddy won't set their daughter down and say, listen, you are not to have sex until you get married, and then you go on your honeymoon. Don't let a boy touch you under any circumstance. People don't teach their kids that. You'd be surprised at the Christian people that don't teach their kids that. God help, brother. I started instilling that in my kids when they was old enough to hear. And I may just lay the law down. I may scare them to death if you have to. I know Christian people lets their daughters minor. I'm talking about underage children. Date adult men. Are you kidding me? That's strange, brother. That's crazy. That's messed up. The way of man is a strange way. Amen? Think about it. Thomas Edison was one of the greatest inventors we've ever heard of, right? He was a devout atheist. Ain't that strange? A man can invent a light bulb and invent electricity. I mean, all the stuff he invented. I think the telegrams, the telephone, all that stuff. Tell a woman, you know, that's a really way to communicate. Amen? But a man like that had all that knowledge. What about Albert Einstein, the people that the schools of higher learning emulate and almost worship? He was a devout atheist, a God-hating atheist, and died and busted hell wide open. They won't tell you that in school, will you? Strange, ain't it? Ain't it strange in school? They try to tell your kid that it's all right if two men get married and adopt a child and if two women do the same, but they won't tell them that Jesus Christ came down from heaven and bled and died for their sins so they can go to heaven, so they can live a clean life and live and have joy and peace. Our world is messed up, brother. That's strange to me. Amen. Strange goings on. Sometimes I feel like I've been dropped on this earth out of a spaceship. I don't even belong here. Crazy, man. Thirdly, the way of man's a searching way. It's a selfish way and a strange way, but it's a searching way. Why do you think men participate in women and drugs and alcohol and illicit sex and fame and fortune and all that other stuff, trying to make millions and millions of dollars? You know what they're doing? They're searching, man. There's just emptiness in their heart. Listen, brother, you can see them interview those rich people and those rock stars and those athletes, and you can see that hollow, empty look in their face. Brother, they have no hope. They're just hoping that next million they make them happy. They're hoping they win that next Super Bowl ring. It'll make them happy. They're hoping if they win that next title or that next fight or they make that next lap around the track, that'll make them happy. But they know deep down in their soul, it ain't going to do it. It ain't going to make them happy. It's a searching way. You spend your life searching and wandering around like somebody lost in the dark. Can I tell you something this morning? My friend, you'll never find it. Oh, you'll never find it. I said you'll never find it until you find your way down an old-fashioned altar at the foot of the cross. And you begin to look up into the face of the pierced brow of the Son of God that suffered and bled and died for sinners such as I. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God that God did spare at Calvary. Thank God, I'm glad Jesus made a way. Hallelujah, brother. I'm glad to be born again. Everybody thinks we're strange. I think they're a bunch of idiots. Amen. I'm glad one night as a young man, I was searching, Brother Joe. I couldn't find it. Could you? Brother Jeff, you remember how you used to be before you got saved? Nothing did it, Brother Sam. Brother William, you know what I'm talking about? Can't find it. You can't find it. You keep thinking. It's like it's just out of reach. And you think, if I get that job, I'll be happy. If I make this money, I'll be happy. If I date that girl, I'll be happy. If I can just buy that nice car, I'll be happy. But it always leaves you coming up short. It always leaves you blank. It always leaves you empty. And there's nothing. You're a shell. Oh, but thank God He made a way. I said He made a way at the cross of Calvary. You don't have to search any longer. Thank God. It's a selfish way and a strange way and a searching way, but it's a short way. The way of man's a short way, kids. If you want to shorten your life, just keep on like you're going, living in sin. You'll check out of here pretty soon. They'll be looking at your face in a coffin and saying, how old was she? Well, she wasn't but 47. And somebody said, my God, she looks 77. And some kid will walk up in your coffin and look down at your face, and they'll say, Mama, who's that old woman? And you'll whisper and say, honey, that woman ain't that old. She just lived in sin her whole life and never would surrender. But I'm telling you, it's a short life. Listen, you go home and do a little bit of research on your own, and you'll find out the lifespan of a rock and roll star is 36.9 years. They don't even make it to 40 years old. You never go in a rest home and find a rock star sitting there in a wheelchair in his 80s eating pudding. They never make it, brother. It's a short life. I'll tell you, the way of man is short. It'll shorten your day, and God will take you out of here. I will say, it's also a sad way. It's sad what people do their lives. Me and Brother Sam's talked about this, I don't know how many times. It's heartbreaking to watch people throw their life away and nothing you can do about it. I mean, if I thought intervention would help, that's what I'm trying to do this morning. But until you hit rock bottom and you're ready to repent, nobody can help you. Nobody can do anything for you. It's a sad way. Listen, brother, I know I've got relatives. I got people that I love this morning. I got people I'm burdened about. I've got brothers that's lost and undone without God. It's sad what they've done with their life. It's sad to see how wrecked and ruined. It's sad to see the pieces of their life laying shattered on the ground. And they know the answer. They know the answer. It's that old rugged cross. Oh, they know the answer is in the shed blood. They know the answer is in a dying, darling Savior. They know His name. They know what He did. They know where He came from. They know what He did on the cross, and they know He came back out of the tomb. But it's sad to see that they're throwing their life away for pleasure. It ain't worth it, is what I'm saying. Hey, you might live it up, but you'll never live it down. That prodigal son came back home, but every day the rest of his life he had scars all over him that he never lost. Now I'm going to get to the second part of my message. That's just part one. Amen. The way of man. Now, secondly, the way of the Lord, first of all, is a perfect way. Psalm 18, verse 30, jot it down. As for God, His way is perfect. Oh, brother, His way is perfect. You say, preacher, you saying you're perfect? That's exactly what I'm saying. You say you ain't perfect. Oh, yes, I am. Not what you're looking at, but I'm talking about the inward man. I'm talking about the spiritual man. It's perfect. It's righteous, brother. It's been washed in the blood. Oh, it's just as saved as it'll ever be. I'm just as saved as I'll be on judgment day. I'm just as saved as if I was dead and in heaven. Oh, brother, I want to tell you, God's way is a perfect way. Hey, brother, there ain't no flaws in it. There ain't no problems with it. Oh, thank God's way. Amen. It never fails. It's like that song the choir sings. Jesus never fails. The world will fail you. Amen. The sin system will fail you. Politics, religion, and all these other things will fail you. But the way of God, it is a perfect way. God has a perfect plan of salvation. What makes it so perfect is the fact that you had a huge debt you couldn't pay. He paid a debt He didn't owe. That's perfect, brother. What's so perfect about it is you are so unworthy, and you're a sinner, convicted, found guilty, and sentenced to die. And somebody that never sinned stepped up and took your debt and paid the price. That's perfect. His way's a perfect way. Because when we leave this world, we're bogged down with all the world and the sinfulness and this wretched filth. And it seems like we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the more people sin, it's like the more the news and Hollywood glorifies them. Oh, but brother, God's way's still perfect. It's still right, brother. I mean, brother, one of these days we're going to leave this sin-cursed world. And we're going to leave this old wore-out body. And we're going to sail right into the glory of God. And we're going to have a place over yonder that's made for God's people. It's a prepared place for a prepared people. Thank God it's a perfect way. And that's the way I choose this morning. Amen. It's a perfect way, but it's a plain way. Amen. Psalm 27:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. See, it ain't complicated. That's what I like about it, Brother Joe. You don't have to. The world looks at you like this. Oh, he's got a degree. Wow, really? But God's way is perfect. And it's plain. You can get saved, 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 you can get saved. It don't matter who you are. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've had people tell me that. If you only knew what I've done, you know what I say back to them? Hey, if you only knew what I've done, you wouldn't think so highly of me. If you know some of the things I've done, some of the places I've been, some of the people I've been with, oh, but thank God, brother, it's plain. The Bible said that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And brother, he gave his life and shed his blood so that me and you can be saved. He paid a debt he didn't owe. Thank God, I'm glad that's as plain as it gets. That's why I like plain preaching, brother. I like to go hear a man preach when I get up and leave. I know what he's talking about. One of these dignified preachers that's got more confidence in himself than he does the Bible was up preaching one Sunday, and he asked the lady at the back, said, did you enjoy the preaching? She said, well, I brought the wrong book. He said, well, didn't you have your Bible? She said, yeah, but I needed a dictionary. I don't know half what you said. I like it plain, brother. Amen. That's just like if your wife told you, well, it seems like possibly maybe that I may be infatuated, blah, blah. No, you don't want that. You, oh, I love you. I love you. I love you like Ernest E. Bass. I mean, brother, make it plain. And that's the way God's way is. It's a perfect way. It's a plain way. It's simple. It's not complicated. That's what the Bible meant when it said God has chosen foolishness of preaching. That word foolishness means it's so simple. The Bible said, though a wayfaring man or a fool wouldn't err therein. Even a man that ain't too bright like me can figure it out. Number three, it's a prosperous way. The way of the Lord's perfect, it's plain, it's a prosperous way. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The Lord's way is a prosperous way. He'll bless you in more ways than you can imagine. I never dreamed when I got saved. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I never dreamed all this other stuff was going to be thrown in. I didn't know about all these bonuses. I didn't know about all these fringe benefits. I didn't know about good health all those years, and a good family and a good church, and not having trouble with the law and all this other stuff. It's a prosperous way, brother. I don't regret serving God a bit. Y'all still with me this morning? It's a prosperous way. Number four, it's a powerful way. Proverbs 10:29, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. See, the workers of iniquity is going down. I mean, you're going up. It's a powerful way. We have power. We have power over sin, power over the world, power over defeat, power over depression, power over discouragement. If we access that power through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Word, it's a powerful way. How in the world do you think you quit doing what you did? Amen? How some of it used to be drunkards. How'd you do that? How'd you get down to an altar and get saved and get up and walk out that back door and all of a sudden you didn't have a desire to drink no more? How'd you do that? You didn't do it on your own. Amen. The power of God. Amen. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved it is the power of God. I'm glad for the power of God. It's a powerful way. And the last thing I want to say about the way of the Lord, it's a perfect way and a plain way and a prosperous way and a powerful way, but thank God it's a peaceful way. What does Psalm 119:165 say? Great verse of Scripture, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Brother, I tell you what, I can't get over. I'm like somebody said in Sunday school, come on, get a song, right? I can't get over the fact that when I got saved, I really didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to verbalize it. I didn't know all the spiritual terms, you know. I'd just say like stuff like, man, that's cool, or that's groovy, or far out. I know I say amen or praise God or hallelujah, you know, that stuff. But I remember the night I got saved, I had this feeling in my heart of rest. And I didn't know what it was, but it was peace that I'd heard about all them years. And all these years have come and gone since 1978, and guess what? Still got it. Yeah. It's still there. I still have that peace. Preacher, don't you worry about dying. I don't really. I mean, what are you going to worry about? You going to leave this mess and go up yonder where it's perfect? I mean, brother, when you stop and think about the way of the Lord, the lost don't have that peace. They might tell you they do, and they might be happy, you know, in seasons, but they don't have peace. You look at every time you go to a convenience store, every time, you can't pay for your gas because somebody's trying to scratch off $20 million. And they're trying to get something for nothing. So what it is. They don't want to work for it. I just want a free $20 million lottery. But you know what? If they get that money, give them 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years, they'll still be empty. Because that cannot fix what's inside you. You're born with this empty vacuum, this empty hole. Y'all have heard me say it a million times. And ain't nothing going to fill it. You can straighten up and do right and clean your life up, but it ain't gonna fill that void. You can marry the prettiest woman in the world, like I did. You can marry the nicest man in the world, like she did. But it ain't going to fill that void. One day you'll be laying in bed at night, and even if you made $1 million, you'll be laying in bed one night and you'll be looking up at the stars, looking out the window, and you'll be thinking, that didn't do it. Nothing's going to make you happy is what I'm trying to tell you. Nothing's going to give you peace. I don't know who this is for. Maybe somebody on the radio, I don't know. But I know one thing, the way a man will take you down, the way of God will give you peace. Let's all stand.